Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning, the text that we'll spend some time with, is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 1 and a conversation between the great angel Gabriel and the lowly Virgin Mary, the one who has not known a man, is what that means. It's an interesting conversation. I don't know if you've ever spent much time with it. We read it every Christmas season for sure, but just picture in your mind what's happening here. Gabriel is no regular guy. He is an angel of the God Most High. He's fierce. He's mighty. He will do great battle when you read about it in Daniel. Battle for the hearts and souls of the world. He is a mighty warrior of God, and now he comes with a message. That's what angel means. In this moment, he is a messenger of the Most High, and he comes to the smallest, lowliest, poorest person that might be. A young woman, engaged, betrothed, to be married to a man named Joseph in a lowly little village of Nazareth where nothing good comes from, if you remember when people say that about Jesus. And he says, rejoice! That's what the word greetings really means. Rejoice, O blessed one, O highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Emmanuel. And Mary hears these words and she sees the mighty Gabriel there and she is deeply troubled. Deeply troubled, Matthew writes, and she tries to sort out what in the world this greeting means. Can you imagine yourself there in her shoes? Try to be somewhat empathetic here and put yourself there. It's a young woman in the middle of nowhere in a little village that nobody expects much of. And there Gabriel appears and says these words to you. You know, Paul, rejoice! Emmanuel, the Lord is with you. O favored one. Now, this isn't the only time this kind of thing has happened before. Do you remember at the beginning of Isaiah when Isaiah sees God and hears something similar? What does he say? Woe to me! For I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people sinful. Woe to me, he says. And this might be something that Mary has in mind. Because we know that the holy does not dwell with the unholy. The righteous does not mingle with the unrighteous. That there is a great chasm between God and his creation. And it's created by sin. And the punishment of the sin is death, and it haunts us in every way, as we confess in our thoughts, words, and deeds. And this is not a 2020 thing. This is a reality since Adam took a bite of the apple. Mary is a part of that reality just as much as you and I are. She knows, just like Isaiah, woe to me, what is happening here? I don't deserve to be here to hear this greeting. What is he saying? It's troubling. Now I want to skip way ahead to the end where Gabriel's trying to reassure Mary what's going on here, and he says these words. He says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now all this is connected with this phrase. Gabriel's visit, Gabriel's greeting, Gabriel's news of what's about to happen, Mary's reaction and Gabriel's explanation, all of it here is summed up in, for nothing is impossible with God. But it means much more than what we have. You ever said those words? For nothing is impossible with God. We say these words a lot when we pray, especially when we have deep needs in this life that we have, this temporary life. Could be health issues, could be marriage problems, could be addiction, could be fear and worry and anxiety that torments you, could be some kind of rejection. All manifestations of the sin of this world that haunts us. And it could be even, especially maybe this year, the fear and the torment of death. Death just came alive this year, didn't it? It's part of every news story that you hear on the radio, that you read on the internet, that you watch on the nightly news. Thousands and thousands all over the world dying every day. Of course, this is not new for 2020. It's always a reality. Death is always haunting us. It's the wages of our sin, Paul says. But we pray for our family members and people that we know who are hurting. We pray for ourselves even. When we feel abandoned and rejected, we pray. Nothing is impossible with God. Maybe we even picture in our minds the gospel stories of Jesus healing the blind, raising the dead. We know God can do great things. He spoke the world into existence. Nothing is impossible with God. He can do this thing that I'm asking. He can save so-and-so. He can heal what's her face. He can do these things. We pray these things all the time. And then we meet with one another and we listen maybe and ask questions, and we know that our friend, our sister is in deep despair. And then maybe we even say those words to them. Don't worry. Nothing is impossible with God. That's not really what Mary and Gabriel are talking about here. That's just maybe a superficial sort of understanding of what's happening here. With Mary, it's something much deeper. Something that reflects in Isaiah's words, woe to me. Mary's troubled here at this greeting. Rejoice, O highly favored one, O blessed one. What is he saying? Well, he's saying, hey, Mary, you are favored. You are blessed already. You have been, and you will be. You are right now. Hey, Mary, you are a beloved, chosen daughter of God Most High. You are forgiven, Mary, made new in the faith that God has given you. Yesterday at Robert's memorial service, I talked a little bit about Hebrews chapter 11. If you were here, you remember. This is the great faith chapter with all the saints listed there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Noah, and Sarah, all the great of the Old Testament. They live by faith. And in faith, Paul says of Abraham is righteous. And he has life everlasting. And Gabriel comes with this news and he says essentially, hey, rejoice, Mary. You are righteous. By faith, you are righteous. You are blessed. This is a reality of your life, and it's troubling for Mary, who maybe has not heard the gospel before and now just hears it for the first time. I don't know. We don't know, but maybe. And that's what troubles her. How can I be favored before God? She's asking. How can this be? She's thinking. This is troubling. Woe to me. I haven't sacrificed enough. I haven't given enough at the temple or prayed enough. It's yesterday I only did two prayers instead of three like I'm supposed to. She's troubled by this gospel message of her blessedness. Are you? Do you ever think about this phrase, nothing is impossible with God, in terms of your salvation and your forgiveness and the grace that you have received? We confess here Sunday after Sunday, every Sunday we say these words, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. Do you understand what's happening there? In the grace that's given to you by Christ Jesus, when I say the words that you are forgiven, that he has forgiven you all your sins? Again? That by faith you are indeed right before God. That by faith you are indeed made new. That your old self is gone and he has created in faith a new self. A new David. A new Gloria. A new Paul. Created in Christ Jesus. Blessed. This is a reality of our lives. Do you believe it? This is truth. You are free in Christ. He has come. God with us, Emmanuel, has come and done for you, the unfavored, what needed to be done so that he can look to you and say, rejoice, O favored ones. God is with you. What Mary is experiencing here in this conversation, you and I experience every day of our lives. As the reality of our old self confronts the new self, and we battle within us things like hate for our neighbor, judgment, gossip and slander, judgmentalism, fear, worry and distrust. But nothing is impossible with God, for you are saved. And though we battle with this old self, we are rooted in Christ and created new in him. Mary says to David, who would be brave enough to say this to a mighty angel? How can this be? Or, this is impossible. I've never even known a guy. I'm a virgin. How can I have a kid? Well, Gabriel answers her and he says, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Mary. The power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Therefore, because of this, the child to be born through you will be called holy, the Son of God. And look, what's more, Elizabeth, your relative, who's old and barren, is 6 months pregnant and about to have a child. Nothing is impossible with God. In this conversation between Mary and Gabriel, we hear promises of God given and the good news of our favoredness preached. And we see in Mary humility to hear those messages and those promises and the willingness to believe. For nothing is impossible with God. He provides for you salvation and life and forgiveness, and he provides for you the faith to grasp those things. And just like Mary, you and I, with humility, receive that same message. That you are indeed favored and blessed, because nothing is impossible with God. No one is too far gone to be saved. Now Mary hears the word of God from Gabriel. Even as the word of God dwells in her. Do you hear that amazing reality for Mary? She is hearing the promises of God and in faith believes them, even as the very word of God in the flesh dwells within her. And soon the word of God in the flesh will dwell in the manger and among the people. And he will preach the same message to them. O highly favored ones, blessed are you, the meek and the hungry and the thirsty and the poor and the least. Blessed are you, for you are in the kingdom of God. Now, in just a few days, we're going to celebrate this coming of Emmanuel, of God with us. In the manger, he will come. We're going to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We're going to give thanks and praise to him, and he's going to come in the flesh to seek and to save. That's what his name means. The Lord saves. And we rejoice with Mary. And we talked about on Wednesday the very next thing that happens. And that's her song, the Magnificat. And we sang it. She sings, Lord, look what you have done for me, the unworthy. You humble the great and you raise the lowly. You have done mighty things. This week, as we approach Christmas, as we approach that time where God will be finally with his people, sing Mary's song and rejoice with her, for nothing was impossible with God, and now you sit here, soon to receive him in the body and blood and the wine and the bread. For nothing is impossible with God. Thanks be to God. Amen.